A reading from the book of Sirach. The Lord is a God of justice who knows no favorites. Though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint. The one who serves God willingly is heard, his petition reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest till it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly, and affirms the right. And the Lord will not delay. The word of the Lord.
Reading from the letter, second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. At my first offense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Entrusting to us the message of salvation. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity. Greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. There are movies that have a twist to the story or the characters. For example, there are movies where you think you know what the main character is all about, but later in the movie, you see that he's not what you think he was. Today's gospel is sort of like that. In today's gospel from Luke, there are two main characters in Jesus' parable, the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee seems to be the guy that does the right things, but yet he gets a bad rap from Jesus. The Pharisee behaves well. He says he doesn't commit adultery, gives money to his local synagogue, and fulfills all the requirements of the law. In fact, he does more than he is required by the law because, well, he feels like the other Jews of his time are not doing enough, so he has to do extra good work. Nothing wrong with this, of course. On the contrary, it's all good. Well, if the Pharisee is so good at doing extra good things, then why does he get the bad rap in the gospel? In fact, in most of the New Testament, the Pharisees as a group are treated as villains. Well, the answer lies in his motives. He thinks that because he's good and does the extra work, the good work, he's better than the rest of humanity. He filters his good work through his pride. Sounds familiar? Doesn't it sound like a good Catholic that goes to Mass every Sunday and adds two Masses during the week? And because he or she does all this extra holy work, she or he may think that he's better than the rest of the other Catholics? The reason the Pharisee gets a bad rap in Luke's Gospel is because he praises himself before God and he thinks he's all that in a bag of chips. Even though today's parable is only found in Luke's Gospel, in most of the New Testament, the Pharisees are portrayed as the bad guys of the movie, sort of like Ohio State fans. Why is this so, if they do good things, the Pharisees? Well, let's take a look at the Pharisees as a group, as a whole. Who are they? Who are the Pharisees? So they so often get a bad reputation, especially from Jesus. If they do good things, why they get all this bad reputation from? The Pharisees are a Jewish group that separated themselves from other Jewish groups. And this is the meaning of their name in Hebrew, the separated ones, Pharisees. The Pharisees were popular among the people and influential with the people. And they were very concerned with the religious crisis of their time. The crisis of that time was that Israel was occupied by the Romans. And the Romans were pagans, idolaters. They had other gods. And there were Jews who were worshiping the Roman idols and serving those pagan Romans. So how does a faithful Jew like a Pharisee in a land that is occupied by a foreign pagan power keeps himself from pagan impurity, from contamination, from pagan gods? The best way to keep the purity of their religion is to separate themselves from the Romans and the rest of the Jews that serve them. And there's nothing wrong with this. It sounds a little bit like today's culture. A good Catholic will try to separate a little bit from the paganism and the secularism that is permeating our culture today. And there's nothing wrong with this. The problem is in the attitude. The problem was with the Pharisees, though, that because they separated themselves from other groups in order to keep themselves good and pure and uncontaminated, the Pharisees thought they were better than the rest of humanity. Does that sound familiar to you? Doesn't it sound like, again, a Catholic that thinks to himself or herself, if I go to more Masses during the week than anybody else, oh, I must be better than other Catholics? Or like a Catholic that says, I give more money to the church, probably more than anybody else. I must be better than the rest of the congregation. Or I spend more time in church than anybody else. I clean the pews, etc. There's a temptation for us to say, oh, probably I'm better, and the Lord loves me more than the rest. Or the Catholic that works in an office and does all this extra work for the boss, kind of brown-nosing a little bit, and he thinks, or he thinks that is better than the rest because he does all that extra effort. For this worker, it's hard, for this employee, it's hard to like other co-workers that are slacking off or falling behind in their work for any good reason, or it's hard for him or her to like that employee that comes late every day because he has to drop off his kids at school each morning. So every time someone does some extra work, like this good employee, it's hard not to criticize others from his part because they are not doing the same extra work he is doing or she is doing. So it's hard not to think as a human being that you are better than others because you are doing the extra thing. So that's kind of the justification for the Pharisee. They were doing the extra work, trying to keep themselves pure and untouched from pagans. But it was easy for them, in a way, to say, I'm better than the rest because I've been able to keep myself untouched and impure from paganism. The Pharisee praised himself, not in what he did, the good things he was doing, but because by doing those things he thought he was better than others. He said, "I thank you, God, because I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, etc." He thought he was praying to God, when in fact, what he was doing was having a conversation with his ego, giving himself a pat in the back. "Oh, you're so good. You are the best because you are good. You are better than the rest of humanity." The approval for good deeds should come not from us, but from God. It should come from your boss at work, not from us. When we think we are righteous and better than others, we give ourselves a reward, and so we feel that we don't need God or anyone else to give us a reward. In fact, we're not interested to know whether or not God is listening to our own conversation or paying attention to us. We already given us ourselves a reward for a good action. The Pharisees, then, get a bad rap because of their motives. They think that because they do extra work, which is good work, it sets them apart with God, and so that makes them better than anybody else. The thing is not, in reality, not even God is listening or interested in listening to them, to the Pharisees. Now the other guy, the other character in our story, the tax collector, he was the bad guy in Jesus' time. Think about it. He was a Jew, or they were Jewish, the tax collector, working for the pagan Romans, collecting taxes from their own people to give it back to the Romans. And in the way, they will cheat their own people and take more money than they should from their own people, from the Jewish people. So they were seen as scum, traitors. They were the bad guys. This tax collector knew this. He knew who he was, but he probably couldn't quit his job because he probably had a family to feed and a reputation to keep, to guard. He knew his position before God, though, and so he prayed with humility. He knew who he was, what kind of man he was, and what he was doing, and that he was not good. So he came to pray with the right intention, not to praise himself. He didn't have anything to praise for, but to ask for help. So you see, the one who is supposed to be the good man, the Pharisee, turns out to be the bad guy. And the bad guy, the tax collector, ends up being the good guy before God. This is a twist of the story in the eyes of God, because he sees the intentions of our hearts. We end up being, or we could end up being, on the wrong side of the story. What we can learn from this twist in the story is that it all comes down to our motives. If we do things so that others can see that we are better than the rest, then our motives are not righteous, but selfish. What Jesus is telling us with this parable today is that we should do good works, even go the extra mile, but with humility, not praising ourselves for it. Doing good things without bragging about them. So today, pretty much, the Lord is telling us, you can be a combination of the characters in the parable, which is an interesting insight. You can be like the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee, he does good things, but he praises himself for it. On the other hand, the tax collector doesn't do good things, but prays with humility. Now, if you combine the both, you do good things, and then you pray with humility, you have the perfect combination. But let us review what humility really is, how the tax collector prayed, because it's important to recognize that it is hard for us to do good things sometimes, extra work, and not brag about it or not feel more important than the rest of the people because we're so good. So we need to be humble when we pray, when we approach others, but God, first of all. Humility comes from the Latin word for dirt. Our bad guy and friend, the tax collector, who knew he was dirty, sinful, and needed God's mercy, so he prayed like that, with humility, recognizing who he was. He was dirty. He was dirt, made out of clay. The Pharisee, on the other hand, made of the same clay as the tax collector and the rest of us, did not recognize his need for mercy or God for the same matter, and so he thought he was better than the rest of humanity, not recognizing his own sinfulness. This week, then, the challenge is for us to ask ourselves, am I the Pharisee or the tax collector? What is my attitude? What are my motives for what I do? Do I want to be like the Pharisee, do good things and look good? Do I want to do some extra good work so that others can notice me, how good I am? Do I want to be, on the other hand, like the tax collector and ask for mercy and pardon from the Lord in humble prayer? Like I said, I think we can be a bit like both of them. We can do good things, but not praise ourselves for that. Be humble and pray to God for mercy, because we're good, we're doing good things, but we still need the mercy of God to help us. For example, we can go to Mass more than once this week for the glory of God and not for our own reward, and not so we can brag about it. I can do little extra things for my family, my parish, good things, my city, and then the world, so that those places can be much better Christian places to be and live, and not brag about it and think that I am better than the rest of humanity because I'm doing all these good things. I can be also a little bit more humble this week and try to like those who so far I have hated or disliked. When you think you hate or dislike someone else, it's because you think you're better. You think you don't need the mercy of God. You think that you don't need the help from God, that you are doing the right thing. And that's, of course, not the reality of our situation. I can also try to stay a couple extra minutes after Mass and pray for others, give thanks to the Lord for coming to me in Holy Communion. I could give a bit more extra money, if I can, to help someone in need or the parish without advertising it, without putting an ad on the newspaper. If we act like this, we're acting more in humility and with more pure intentions as we do extra work. And God, of course, will appreciate it. Now, the first reading from Sirach today says beautifully how the Lord listens to all and has no favorites, except those who are suffering, except those who are poor. When we try to be more humble, we become spiritually poor because we recognize our need for God. We have nothing, no one else to go to, no one else to help us, and that's our spiritual poverty. And we pray, if we pray in spiritual poverty, the Lord will listen. The first reading says that our prayer will pierce the clouds, and our prayer will get to God and will not return without being answered. But it has to be a prayer like the tax collector's prayer, not a praise to ourselves like the Pharisees. The Lord hears the cry of the poor, says the psalm, as it was sung beautifully today. To be poor in spirit is recognize that we are not better than anybody else because we do extra work or we try to be better and do extra good things. And St. Paul in the second reading, an awful sinner he was, the worst of them, as he once said in one of his letters, he was persecuting Christians, he was killing Christians. But now he says, I have kept the faith, there's a crown waiting for me. I have preached the gospel to the Gentiles. Because of me, they have heard the news of God. What a conversion, what a change. A man who was a Pharisee, and he died a Pharisee, but was first a Christian, He was a combination of both the tax collector and the Pharisee. He's our best example of today's message from the Lord. St. Paul was a Pharisee. He was trying to do good things, but he prayed even before his death with humility and spiritual poverty. Let's see if this week we can forget about our pride and revise our motives for doing what we do and do extra good work without thinking we are better than the rest of humanity. Let's see if we can be a bit more humble. And I assure you, God will hear you. Your prayers will pierce the clouds and will not return without an answer. I suggest that after communion, for example, we pray to the Lord to clean our intentions and purify our motives so that we can do good work with the right intentions.